neoliberalism is a political economy that is being imposed throughout the global south. It's a political economy that is being imposed by four agents. The first agent would be the G8 countries, the eight most powerful countries in the world, which includes the United States, countries in the European Union, Canada, etc. The second agent in the imposition of this political economy is transnational corporations, which you all know, like Nike, Levi's, Coca-Cola, etc., etc. The third agent would be international financial institutions, such as the World Trade Organization, the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, the Inter-American Development Bank, etc., etc. The fourth and final agent, which is where people get caught, is a minority of the opulent, that is a very small percentage of the population in these countries in the global south that are gaining from these trade agreements, that are gaining from neoliberalism. And these people can be identified as a business, political, narcotics, mafia. These are the people that are profiting off. In the meantime, indigenous farm workers that don't even read or write or even speak Spanish throughout southern Mexico are being pushed off their land, are being pushed off extremely violently. I said neoliberalism was a political economy that was imposed. North American Free Trade Agreement was signed in 1992 and went into effect on January 1st of 1994. Now, the reason that I say that this was an imposition is because none of us had a vote on it. None of your parents had a vote or say. They didn't have a voice in whether or not this free trade agreement was going to go into effect between Canada, the United States, and Mexico. No Mexican citizens had a vote or voice in this whatsoever. No Canadian citizens had a vote. Right. None of these free trade agreements that are being imposed are transparent. Nobody has vote or voice in whether or not they go into effect. They go into effect thanks to the imposition of executive branch of federal governments, these transnational corporations, and these international financial institutions, and again, this business, narcotics, political mafia that exists throughout the global south. That exposes the inherent corruption of these trade agreements. If they were so good for us, for American labor, for laborers throughout the world, if they were so good for the environment, if they were so good for the people, then you'd think they'd give us a chance to have a say in whether or not they're going to happen, but they don't. As a matter of fact, whenever these world leaders meet to decide whether or not these things are going to happen, they put up huge fences around their conferences or their summits, and when people try to protest, they get beat down by the cops. That's the bottom line. Now, there's more to neoliberalism than that. When I say military occupation, we think about Iraq, we think about Palestine, some of you might even think about Colombia or even South Korea. But military occupation is only the most blatant form of imposing a political economy. But neoliberalism connotates much more than that when it comes to occupation. Neoliberalism includes not only military occupation, but also social occupation, cultural occupation, political occupation, economic occupation, psychological occupation, and in the end, spiritual occupation. All of our commercials, all of our products, our way of life in this country and in European countries is imposed throughout the global south, and people who live by traditional means in tribes that have lived that way for thousands and thousands of years are no longer considered economically viable. What neoliberalism has done in this imposition is it has commodified natural and human resources. What that means is it's turned human resources and natural resources into merchandise to be bought and sold. Human resources are put on a scale with natural resources. What has happened with neoliberalism is that natural resources like gold, silver, uranium, petroleum, water, earth, are now considered to be more valuable than a lot of human beings that inhabit the lands that are rich in these natural resources. I want to be very clear with you about this. What I'm saying is the word genocide. Very clearly what we're talking about is genocide. Throughout the global south, historically and to date, the political economy, the political economic model of neoliberalism, which has been imposed on these countries, has institutionalized racism in it, which displaces communities that don't fit into the equation. Natural and human resources are just variables in an equation for profit. And unfortunately, more and more and more, we're seeing that human resources are an eliminatable variable in that equation for profit. People are being annihilated. This isn't new, but it's a model that we're seeing repeated over and over and over and over again. I said that military occupation is the most blatant form of occupation, or the most blatant form of imposing neoliberalism throughout the world. There's less blatant forms, but they're just as disgraceful. One of them, which we're beginning to see here in the United States and have been seeing throughout the Global South for quite some time, is the militarization of the police. Police are starting to look a lot more like soldiers. Our police are not supposed to look like soldiers. We're not supposed to be policed by soldiers. Soldiers are to defend our country from some sort of foreign invasion or whatever. But our police, policing us as citizens, are never supposed to look like soldiers. That's unconstitutional. Now, the militarization of police is one step down, but if we dig in deeper, there's a more insidious, more violent form of imposition, which is called paramilitarism. Paramilitary is basically the militarization of civilians. When governments and military and police train and arm and finance civilians to kill and attack other civilians. 9 times out of 10, when this is happening, it's happening because the government is getting concerned with citizens in their countries organizing or resisting the imposition of neoliberalism.
Indigenous groups in Mesoamerica, in Oaxaca, in Chiapas, in Guerrero, Veracruz, down south to El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, they have a natural resistance to the imposition of neoliberalism. All these people, all these tribes, this is a pueblo, this is their land, this was their land before we knew it as these nations, right? And they have one very important thing in common, which is their methods of organization, their methods of struggle, their methods of survival. These methods of organization are a worldview, and they're founded in the notion that we should organize our societies horizontally. People actually come together in general assemblies and talk in 3, 4, 5 different languages for days before they come to a collective decision, like a decision to go into a struggle, or a decision to occupy a building, or a decision to block a road with machetes, or whatever it is that they're going to decide to do. So that when this decision is made, it's made collectively. It's made in a way that everybody decides, everybody gets their say, everybody's concern gets stated. So these horizontal communities are diametrically opposed to the vertical power structures of capital, of empire, and its most current incarnation, neoliberalism. We're winning little by little, and it's the poorest, the smallest, the most voiceless, the most faceless people in the world, and their methods of organization that are teaching us how to overcome this repression.